accepting the challenge. It took a few years after a Zen priest had encouraged me to lead groups that I tried teaching my first introduction to meditation course. I invited our Colombian friends and next door neighbors and some of their compatriots to form a class, and everyone understood that this was a trial run. And the first several classes went just fine. You know, watch your breath. Don't expect to keep the focus steady on it, but just do your best. And then feel your body and notice what's going on through the senses and use that awareness to anchor your mindfulness. And those things were difficult, as we all know, but the Colombians were up to it, and we did just fine. And then we hit the third class, which is usually about thoughts or emotions. And things kind of blew up. Many of the thoughts and emotions that they were having, like almost all human beings, were kind of hard to deal with. And that's why most people spend their days wearing earbuds or doing something with their phones. It's because they don't want to focus on their distressing states of mind. You know, they may be getting phone calls or, you know, other things, but this kind of dawn to dusk input of something other than where you are, what's going on here and now, distracts you from really being fully present. And that's just fine for most people. And here I was saying to my friends that they should look at their thoughts and feel their emotions. Let these phenomena just arise and pass away. But my friends didn't want to. They wanted the part of meditation that would lower their stress and improve their concentration. But the part about seeing into their own minds wasn't what they had signed up for. I have always been aware that our practice is challenging, because it was to me all along, right from the beginning. Our practice takes us right up to and through some of life's most difficult experiences, including those that are lurking in our past. Our practice asks us to hold our focus on the day-to-day ups and downs, too. So we're not just dealing with the backlog, but whatever's coming at us, moment to moment, and not pull them away from our awareness by distractions or through denial. Just be there without any kind of a shield. Now, anyone listening to me say this, whether right now in this room or online, has probably already encountered the challenging parts of our practice and accepted it. In any event, for anyone, it's worth recognizing and exploring the difficulty that we have continuing on with being mindful. At the end of my first 10-day retreat, Joseph Goldstein got a big laugh from the 85 people at Spirit Rock. by congratulating us on completing the retreat. He said that wasn't the way most people would spend a 10-day vacation. Aside from the truth of that, we were laughing because we had all encountered deep places within us that were distressing, that were hard to sit through. We had accepted that challenge to stay there with those difficult feelings and accept them until they passed. Joseph, at some other point during that retreat, told us about a friend whose son was sitting his first long retreat a month at Barre, Massachusetts, the Insight Meditation Society. About midway through the retreat, this friend of Joseph's called and asked how his son was doing. And Joseph said, oh, he's doing just fine. So the man asked Joseph, well, how do you know? And Joseph said, well, he's still here. I hope that it doesn't seem like I skipped over the challenge that was part of those first two sessions in the introduction to meditation course, because turning the attention to the breath and the body's other sensations and then holding that attention there is a challenge that's daunting enough that most people who even face it for 45 minutes don't continue meditating. We got a high dropout rate here. So to get to the point where you are encountering feelings, memories, and shifts in your way of regarding life, that's remarkable. So my remark about it is that you are all very brave and richly deserve all of the benefits that flow from accepting these challenges. What are those benefits? Well, you may be going through your list in your mind right now. So go ahead and take a little more time to review them. What are the benefits? So let's review them together. Whatever list you've come up with so far, maybe pick the one at the top of the list and just contribute to the group the name or phrase of this feeling. Not a whole story at this point, but just let's make a communal list.
Calmness.
Calmness.
Less reactive.
Content.
Content.
Compassion.
Compassion.
Acceptance.
Greater awareness.
What was that?
Greater awareness.
Greater awareness.
Generosity.
Generosity.
Bare awareness.
Bare awareness.
In touch with creativity.
In touch with creativity. Acceptance.
Peace.
It's a wonderful list. The one I want to focus on is confidence. It's closely related to faith, and that's an important component in the growth of our practice. It keeps us here, like the young man in Joseph's story. It keeps giving us the strength of heart to accept the challenge that this practice poses again and again. In her book, Faith, Sharon Salzberg makes it clear that faith is not unquestioning belief. Faith is built on investigation and experience. And she lists how this grows for most people, but the Buddha said basically the same thing about how we know that our practice is right for us. We try it, and we see that it works. First, we have to muster the courage to try it the first time. I sort of had forces in my life that were gently pushing me in that direction, and when the opportunity came up, in the back of my mind, I thought, well, okay, it seems to be fate, I'll give it a try. But just sitting down to meditate for a while doesn't seem initially like such a big deal. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go sit and relax. But for people who've never really stopped doing something or gotten fully unplugged from other sensory input, it's radical. I vividly remember my first day-long retreat, how nervous I was driving there, or my first overnight at Green Gulch. I didn't know what I was getting into. I thought, oh, I'm going to do everything wrong. I mean, I was even staying in the little pay-for-it guest house that they have there. I wasn't mingling with the residents, but you know, I'd heard these stories about the stick, you know. Zen is so strict. I thought, oh, I'm going to blow it. And then I said to myself, I'm driving along like this, you know, the hilly streets of on the way to Green Gulch. And finally I thought, oh, for Pete's sake, they're Buddhists. They know how to accept things. Each step that I took, each new experience, took accepting the challenge that was in it. A weekend with the Lesbian Buddhist Sangha, just Friday, Saturday, come home on Sunday. It was hard for me to imagine that I would do it, that I would stay with a group that long. And then 5 days at Spirit Rock, 10 days, a month. The first time I undertook concentration practice, I was really eager and intimidated by the challenge of it. It wasn't that I was expecting this, that, or something else from the practice, but could I sustain my commitment? Could I keep at it for the month that I was going to be there? Each of these challenges, each time I undertook them and stayed with them, I discovered that that effort was accompanied by pleasure and sometimes joy, especially with the concentration practice. Also, each time the effort culminated in greater confidence. And once I experienced the jhanas, that confidence has ever since been unshakable. We don't have to follow the route that I just laid out. I know some people who start out with a month's retreat. I can't imagine it, but it seems to be right for them. It's unique for every person. At some point, again, it's up to that person, or it depends on who that person is, our practice will begin to guide us rather than the other way around. Whatever the next step is for us, we'll just feel inclined to do it. Sometimes that inclination is a fierce compulsion, but often it's a gentler allure of some way that we can go deeper. And if we have any doubts about this change in our practice, we can check in with a teacher or a spiritual friend to see if it's really wise and helpful. And as their practice develops, people usually get curious about the teachings. And brace yourself, because the next several paragraphs are going to be a lot of numbers, lists, and lists of lists. But as we practice and we start to see things differently, we want to turn to the wisdom of the Buddha and the other teachers through the many centuries. I can remember when I first started practicing Zen, I thought, I'm not going to bother with those numbers. I don't care. I just, just going to sit. And that's what I did for about 2 years. And then I found that I knew what the Four Noble Truths were. And I started to just be curious about the others. The Satipatthana Sutta provides a lot of guidance for us through mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feeling tones that form our preferences, what we like and don't like, and then exploring our states of mind, and finally, practicing with the Dharma itself. The fourth foundation, mindfulness of the Dharma, it gives us a list of teachings that we can practice with to see more and more clearly the truth of how things actually are. On the list that we put together, there was awareness, and then there was deep awareness. And as that awareness deepens and deepens, it just becomes natural to use the Dharma to help us fit into context what our awareness is doing. Now, as I said, the fourth foundation of mindfulness is kind of a list of lists. And the first list is the five hindrances. Who's somewhat familiar with the five hindrances, or has an idea what they are, heard about them in the past? This isn't a quiz. Have you encountered it before? Okay. All right. You all get A's. The hindrances is the most commonly taught of the lists of the fourth foundation. And it is the place to start and also to continue with, because those hindrances don't go away. Yeah. It's desire, aversion, restlessness. Anybody get restless during tonight's meditation? No? Great. But, desire, aversion, sloth and torpor. I saw a few heads nod. It arose in me for a while. And then finally, doubt. I'm just doing something wrong. I got to stop trying. And these hindrances just continue to get in our way, both in our formal sitting or walking meditation and in our daily lives. So they're always there. This practice is always available to us. I'm going to quickly go through the rest of the list in the fourth foundation. The five aggregates, the six sense bases, the seven factors of awakening, and the four noble truths. And you may have heard about all of those, but there are ways available in the literature of instructions of how to work with each one of them. And I'm not going to go through it right now, but it's there. And as we work with them, or any of the other teachings in the Dharma, we go through over and over transformations in the way we see ourselves and the world around us, our relationships, the way we treat other people, and this planet. And often, this process of change involves some really difficult emotions as we engage with a way of being that we now know has not suited us well. And new truths that have recently been revealed to us, strange ways of being. What my Colombian friends balked at accepting, though, was that the way to end the pain of our dissatisfactions, our dukkha, is to not avoid it, but to go through it. Go right into it and through it mindfully and feel every bit of it. And understand as best we can, with the support of the teachings and our spiritual friends, our Sangha, our teachers, our Dharma buddies. It is challenging, but aided by faith and confidence that we gain as we go along, we accept that challenge over and over. And I'm finally going to confess that there is irony in the title that I gave this talk, Accepting the Challenge, because the real challenge is to accept our experience. Acceptance. Somebody put that on the list. And to allow ourselves to experience our lives fully, through our senses and our emotional responses, the truth of every moment. As the suttas frequently say, this is the way to continued release and the ultimate liberation from unhappiness to peace and joy. So may you continue to follow this path. Thank you.